The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. I notice a whole lot more masks this week, and I encourage you all to do whatever is necessary to feel comfortable. We haven't received any instruction yet from the county or from the church. So until we do, I just encourage everybody to be safe. It reminds me a little bit about the Israelites in the desert, right? They've figured out a way to make this okay, and people are just grumbling. We're grumblers, aren't we? Well, today we start a cycle of readings which are basically about the Eucharist. And as I was trying to figure out exactly what I would say today, as kind of an introduction, I would just say that the concept I'd like to put across this afternoon is that Eucharist is not something that we get. It's not something that we collect. It's not something that, certainly not something we deserve, but it is something that we receive. But what is it exactly that we receive? Isn't communion maybe even a more meaningful word to use for Eucharist? Eucharist means thanksgiving, but communion necessarily shows kind of an effect of what it does. It brings us together. It makes us one. Not only the fact that it brings us together, but it makes us one in Christ. The divinity of Christ is something that we now share in. Well, the Lord gave them bread from heaven. So I thought that I'd start with St. Paul as he speaks to the people of Ephesus today. The second reading, he very simply says, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." Let's just look around ourselves today and look at how people are living out of the futility of their minds, right? There should not be issues like what is truth, what is justice, what is equality. Those are all kinds of, they're concepts, but they're also realities in God's creation that we can take into our minds. And if we don't get outside of our own minds, then we can turn all that into whatever we want it to be. What do these things mean? Is this supposed to be something that we determine as individuals? Pope Francis has repeatedly said that one of the greatest problems of our age is individualism. Do you see how it fights against the idea of communion? Truth and justice, things like that, are things that transcend our personal experiences because our personal experiences are so limited. There's no way we can understand the totality. So then St. Paul says something really interesting. He says, "This is not how you learned Christ. This is not how you learned Christ, as truth is in him, that you should put away your old self of your former way of life, corrupted by deceitful desires, and put on the new self created by God in righteousness and holiness of truth. I like that holiness of truth. Truth is something that's holy, isn't it? It's not something we make up. It's something that's given. So then we listen to the Israelites saying, would that we had died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. So they're actually saying, if only God had killed us in the land of Egypt as we ate our fill of bread, but you, Moses, had to lead us into this lousy desert so we die of famine. Now realize this is 15 days into a 40-year stay in the desert. Hard times ahead. So I guess God and Moses and the people, they had to hit a reset button, which I would like to sort of say is where we are right now in our own lives and with this pandemic. So what good is the grumbling, the complaining, the blaming, and how that must look to God who has just saved his people, right? Now confronted with hardship, and probably they were hungry and thirsty, right? But anyway, despite their error, the Lord sends quail at night and manna in the morning, just as much as they needed, nothing more and nothing less. If you look a little bit further into the story in the book of Exodus, there are people who try to hoard manna, right? So that because they don't really trust that God's going to send it again tomorrow. Well, on the day before the Sabbath, he sends twice the amount so that they can only get what they need for 2 days. But it says where people try to hoard it, they'd get up the next day and it would be rotten. It wasn't intended to last more than a day. It was God trying to teach his people how to trust, how to rely on him and not on themselves. Not in the futility of their own minds, but in the truth that overrides our experiences. Well, this is where St. Paul says how he talks about this is not how you learned Christ. He doesn't say how you learned about Christ. So literally in this, you could translate it, this is how you learned to be Christ. So if you're learning about Christ, that's just textbook, isn't it? That's just textbook. Like when I talk about the youth program in the parish or the confirmation program, I say we've got to get kids into an immersion program so that they can be the church and see how fulfilling that is and how joyful that is, how great it is to actually serve somebody else. But if you only read about it and say, oh, it's supposed to be a good thing, but I don't know. I think that's what St. Paul's getting to here. So it's not just about Christ. What Christ have you learned? It's people who might be looking for signs, some kind of signal from God that says you're on the right path. Are you looking for the sign, which is the food that perishes, because those kinds of things pass? Or are you looking for Christ himself? This is basically the bottom line of faith. What is it you want? Do you want to settle for the food that lasts for a while? Or do you want Jesus himself? And I think many people have kind of their sights set too low and they settle for too little. So is the food that endures for eternal life, is it actually food or is it actually receiving a person? Jesus. His disciples ask him, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? I found that to be an interesting line as well. Nothing. We can't accomplish the works of God. They're the works of God. So why do we keep trying? Haven't we already received the works of God? And they're working through us. This is all this idea of communion. It's not something that we get. It's something that we are. Something that we become. The point is to believe. To trust. The manna was only good for the day, maybe 2 days, if it was a Sabbath. And those who sought to store it up found that it spoiled. But in Christ we know that we would never hunger and never thirst if we become him.